following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you the half hour edition of the show today. And, you know, the news for this week, let's get to the big news first, which is that Donald Trump has agreed to a meeting with the North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. And it's just really weird because, you know, normally I see negative news about Donald Trump, but it seems that he is really getting praise for this meeting. Very, very strange. And therefore, I don't trust it. I mean, you know, in the movies where the characters, I don't know, maybe they're in a forest or something like that, and then suddenly all the birds stop chirping and everything gets really quiet, and that's when the attack comes, right? You know, when things get too quiet, and if it's gotten to the point where if the press is not criticizing Donald Trump, then I get nervous. Isn't that sad? I think that's very sad. You know, the press should just report the news, but they've spent the last, 2 years now just bashing this guy nonstop. And, you know, when they do that, that to me means that he's on the right track. Because the values that I have aren't the same as what the general press corps has. So if the press is, you know, running the guy down, that to me means he's probably doing a pretty good job. What makes me nervous is when they're not on him. And right now, they're not. And they were right up until the moment when he agreed to this meeting. So very, very strange. I mean, who knows? Maybe he is doing what they want him to do, and they think this is great. You know, he's going to be diplomatic, and he is possibly going to end the threat of North Korea. Which, and you know, don't tell anybody that I said this, but I don't think North Korea is really a threat, at least not that much of a threat. I think they're a potential threat, but I'm not too worried about them. Having said that, it's much better to quash something before it becomes a problem. And so if he can do that, he will, you know, according to everybody, go down in history as the one president positively with North Korea. Would it be crazy, and this is, we're a little over a year in now, would it be crazy if he kept getting accomplishments and he became one of the greatest presidents ever? Would that be amazing? Because, and you know, I don't think I'm alone in this, Donald Trump, not that long ago, the idea of him becoming president would be a punchline. Right? I mean, it was a joke, and it actually happened. Not that I can blame the American public. I mean, look who he ran against. But, you know, I do think that the negative press coverage has been getting to people, because I asked some people yesterday, and, you know, I survey people from time to time. And I have to say, a lot of people who were Trump supporters are very soft on support for him now. But when I asked them why, they didn't really have any good reason. So I think it's just a constant battery of stories from the press that will soften support, because you know, you're sick of hearing about it. And midterms are coming up. I surely hope that the people who supported Trump will take a look and go, well, you know, he has been doing a good job. And therefore, I believe that the Republicans who want to have support of the people will follow the things that he's been doing, and that we'll have more Republicans elected than Democrats. Because the Democrats have been getting worse, haven't they? You know, they've been getting worse. They've been moving further to the left. And some of them are starting to reach kind of uncharted territory that they haven't been in quite a while. And, you know, these guys are, in my opinion, just too young to remember the dangers of too much government interference in people's lives. So maybe I'm naive about these things. I mean, are they going to meet face to face? Are they? Because that would be fantastic. I'd love to see a fist fight between them. Are they sending representatives? Are they going to FaceTime each other? I mean, nowadays, how exactly do world leaders meet one another? This is something that I would like to know. You know, when I was asking people about what they thought of Trump, one of the questions I would ask is, do you believe the Russian conspiracy is true? And you know, people believe this stuff. It just blows my mind. And they're like, well, you don't believe it? I'm like, no. And they're like, why? And I'm like, well, I haven't seen any evidence for it. I mean, like concrete evidence. You can't say someone's met with somebody who's Kremlin linked, but then not explain how they're linked, you know. And I need to see actual proof of this, not just say, well, everyone says it. Everyone says it's true. I want to know how they know it's true. It's not enough to just say, well, it's true. Okay, well, just take your word for it. And that stupid game that they've been playing since the Bush years, oh, you take the word over Russia, of Russia, you take the word of Russia over the word of our government agencies. Look, I don't care who's saying it. I want to know what evidence you've got. You know, I had a friend who was drunk once, right? And I had their keys. And I wasn't going to let them drive home like that. They were off their ass drunk. And so another person who's their friend and who I knew if I gave the keys to them would give it to the first person was like, oh, well, give me the keys. I'll hold them and then you can go. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, I can hold the keys just as good as you. They're like, what? You don't trust me? Anyway, I said no. And then they were mad at me for like a couple of weeks. So, you know, you can phrase it if you want to in a way that's going to get yourself upset. But the facts are facts. And I will believe what my eyes tell me. So if you can show me some proof, real proof of collusion, I'll look at it. But if you can't, then just saying other people are saying it is not enough for me. So here's some news from earlier this week. The Communist Party in China has proposed to remove a constitutional clause limiting presidential service to 2 terms in office. Signs, this is from CNBC, signs of dissent and biting satire against the move have been all but snuffed out by China's censors. Even some of the government's most outspoken critics have been reluctant to loudly criticize the constitutional amendment. The day China's ruling Communist Party unveiled a proposal to allow President Xi Jinping to rule indefinitely, as Mao Zedong did a generation ago. Ma Bo was so shaken he couldn't sleep, so Ma, a renowned writer, wrote a social media post urging the party to remember the history of unchecked one-man rule that ended in catastrophe. History is regressing badly, Ma thundered in his post. As a Chinese conscience, I cannot say silent. Censors silenced him anyway, swiftly wiping his post from the internet. Can you believe that? Wow. Can you believe that? So they are moving to remove term limits. Of course, here's how the AP spun this. Trump says maybe U.S. will have a president for life someday. Washington AP, President Donald Trump says he thinks it's great that China's president now holds office for life and muses that maybe the U.S. will do that someday. So, that is a story that how it's reported. So here's a quote from him. Trump told the gathering, he's now president for life. President for life. He's great. I think it's great. Maybe we'll give that a shot someday. So, depending on whether you like Trump, if you like Trump, you might think that's a very funny joke. And if you don't like him, those words might make your hair stand up on end, right? But yeah, that's the headline. Trump says maybe U.S. will have a president for life someday. You know, I always thought that if Trump was that type of a guy, and I don't think he is, despite everyone saying that he's authoritarian and things. I mean, you know, I do think he's kind of a strong-willed guy, but I feel he listens to other people. I really do believe that. And I've got to be one of the only people anywhere who, if assuming that elections are held fairly, assuming that they are not rigged, I think that term limits might make it where the president, I mean, look, he's always new every couple of years, and that gives the people under him more power because they know what's going on. And so you get a new president, they can give him any kind of information that they want to. The new guy doesn't know this stuff, right? So I always wondered if term limits were in total really a good thing, if term limits are good or not. And I know that especially for Congress, people want term limits. But in the district that the congressman is residing in, they like him. You know, the saying is that you hate the congressman from, you hate Congress, but you like your congressman, right? And can you help a system where the congressman is fighting to get more money for their state so that they can be reelected? All right, what else have we had in the news this week? Oh, here's a story. During Trump hotel strife, a Trump mojito, but no water. So this is basically an article about how a hotel, a Trump hotel in Panama City, retains its status as one of the city's finest if you can look over the intermittently running water and Friday's four hour power outage and occasional police presence in the lobby. So basically, and then they have a quote, this isn't what you expect from a luxury hotel. So basically it's an article trashing a Trump hotel. Here's another article from earlier this week. This is from People. President Trump jokes wife Melania will be next to leave during the White House press dinner. I think that's a funny joke. And here's another one from GQ. Trump wanted to start a trade war because he was mad Jared Kushner couldn't get a security clearance. So they're saying that the reason that that Donald Trump has imposed tariffs on imported steel and aluminum is because he is angry that Jared Kushner couldn't get a security clearance. I mean, really, guys, this is... So like I said last week, isn't it amazing that suddenly everybody recognizes that tariffs are bad? You know, everyone loved tariffs. Everybody wanted to have tariffs. And now suddenly tariffs are bad. The Republicans wanted it when Romney was running. The Democrats have wanted it when Obama imposed some tariffs. And now suddenly tariffs are bad. Everyone recognizes that tariffs are bad. Here's Paul Krugman, who writes for the New York Times. This is a so-called Nobel Prize-winning economist. Here's some things he wrote. Trump's negative protection racket. Oh, what a Trumpy trade war. The macroeconomics of trade war. And this one, trade war, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. And all of these articles are, opinion that Trump tariffs will cost American jobs. So, you know, it's funny that all of these articles saying how terrible things are going to be. But here's Paul Krugman before Trump was elected. It's March 15th, 2010. Paul Krugman calls for 25% cross-the-board tariff on Chinese goods. So Trump instituted 10% tariffs against steel and 10% against aluminum. So he falls far short of what Paul Krugman wanted just a few years ago. And all of a sudden, things have turned around and now tariffs are bad. I mean, this is one of countless examples of another president does it, it's fine. In fact, not only is it fine, it's beneficial, it's good. And Trump does it, and suddenly it's bad. And, you know, they think we can't notice. They think they have to believe that people are stupid. And, you know, I understand that some people, they can't prevent being influenced. Like I said, you know, the people that I talked to this week, Trump supporters who have gone soft, and people who are neutral now being anti-Trump. I understand the constant barrage of press and stories, and you figure, heck, where there's smoke, there must be fire. There has to be. But, you know, that expression doesn't even describe the situation. It's like, it's not just smoke. It's like an engulfing fog that you can't see your own hand in front of your face. It's what the press is doing is incredible. Is it possible that these stories of Trump help him on the international stage? Are they like, God, this guy's crazy. We better not set him off. I mean, between what the press says about him being unhinged and when Trump writes things like, I have a bigger button and mine works, maybe this meeting is happening with the North Koreans because they're afraid of the dude. I'm afraid of the man. You know, I wouldn't want to go up on stage, you know, as a candidate against Donald Trump. You know, but you know, there's so much bad news against Trump. Here's another story, and it looks like Mueller is finally going to get the information that he's been looking for. Mueller obtains personal letter from Trump to Putin. And, you know, when you read that headline, you're thinking, oh my goodness, this is proof of collusion. Well, the letter is indeed from Donald Trump to Vladimir Putin, inviting him to the 2013 Miss Universe pageant. So I wouldn't call that a nail in the coffin. But this is what the Democrats' lives hinge upon. Here's a story that ran earlier this week. This is March 4th, 2018. Trump says American workers are hurt by immigration, but after ICE raided this Texas town, they never showed up. So they're saying that this Texas town was raided, and then nobody came in to fill in the jobs. I wouldn't call this Trump's fault, because this story happened 10 years ago. So why they're running it now, I don't know. But, you know, I guess whatever makes for a good headline, right? It's insanity. Here's another great headline here. Trump, quote, may have done something during the election, former aide says. So again, that not exactly the nail in the coffin. He may have done something, you know, during the election. It's possible he did something. We don't know what that something was, but it could be something. And in fact, if you read the article, he says he doesn't know what that something is. So great job, guys. Oh, the former aide's name is Sam Nunberg. And, you know, Sam Nunberg, he went on CNN, I believe, with Aaron Burnett. And they're talking, and he's kind of acting strange during the interview. And then at the end of the interview, or close to the end, she says, now, I have to ask this question because your opponents say that you are unhinged and you're mentally unstable. And now that I'm sitting close to you, we're sitting close together, I smell alcohol on your breath. Have you been drinking? Is that embarrassing or what? The guy says, no, he hasn't been. Says he hasn't been drinking. She calls him out and says, I smell it on your breath. And he denies it. Then she says, have you been taking drugs of any kind? And he says, no, just my meds. And he's on antidepressants. So not the strongest credible witness for all things anti-Trump, especially when he says that Trump may have done something during the election and then doesn't know what that is. Oh, he's also refusing to answer Mueller's subpoena and says, you can arrest me if you want to. So that's who we're dealing with here. So there's this big anti-Trump guy. You probably heard of him. He's a billionaire, Mark Cuban. And a big, you know, liberal supporter. The libs love him. And he's being investigated now for alleged sexual assault in 2011. And it's funny because the article, the way that the article was written, well, I'm looking at it, they changed it. But the original, which is funny, isn't it? I hate when they do that. I need to really start screen capping these things. But the original article says Dallas Mavericks owner investigated for a sexual assault. It didn't name the guy, even though he's a famous and well-known guy, and he was well-known already. And then when he came out against Trump, of course, he became even more well-known. And was he on Shark Tank or something like that? But anyway, so you know, kind of funny that has happened now. Because when, during the election, those girls came out against Trump, Mark Cuban was like, they should be believed. So, you know, should we believe this one just automatically there, Mark? Here's another great story about article written about Donald Trump. These are all from this week. And you can see these are all different sources. I mean, can you blame people for being kind of battered down and being like, oh, I don't know if Trump's that great? This is from Rick Newman, Yahoo Finance. Chief expert finance guy, Rick Newman. Trump's outdated view of the economy. You know, I don't agree with Trump's overall view of the economy. But, I mean, come on, man. Here's how this article starts. Donald Trump is a 70s man. He loves beauty pageants. He puts ketchup on his steak. And he thinks the surest signs of economic might are thriving smokestack industries churning out the raw materials for skyscrapers and locomotives. Well, that is actually a good sign of things. Actually creating and making things, manufacturing, is a really good sign of a strong economy. Absolutely. It is true. You know, people think that the service-based businesses are where it's at, but you can't have those unless you're able to eat. So I do agree with Trump's view on that, if that is in fact his view of that. And not Rick Newman's view of Trump's view of that. All right, let's wrap things up. Looks like they found Amelia Earhart again. Amelia Earhart mystery solved. Scientists 99% sure bones found belong to aviator. You know, they keep getting me to click on these things. I don't know why I do it. You know, every time they come out with an article about Amelia Earhart, they found her, they're like, oh, we finally solved the mystery. I click on it and they're like, well, you know, we don't know if we've solved the mystery. We think that we have. And now they're like, some dude is 99% sure that the bones he found belongs to Amelia Earhart. Quick final story. I talked last week about how I love Star Wars, but this last movie was the worst movie I've ever seen. And they have announced a new director coming up for a live-action Star Wars series for Disney's new streaming platform. But there's people who don't like it, and many on social media, this is from the article, are wondering why Lucasfilm, quote, has hired yet another white man to steer the diverse Star Wars universe, and announced it on International Women's Day, no less. Yeah, you know, I'm tired of people getting hired on the basis of talent. Wish I could comment on it more, but I've got to go. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I will see you all next week again for the How to Kill an Hour Radio Show. I'm the Ed Man. Have a good one, everybody. See ya.